Welcome to the More Perfect Union Podcast, a podcast about the joy we get from American politics, or as we like to call it, real debate without the hate. Hi, I'm Kevin Kelton. I'm in Los Angeles, and I'm a moderate Democrat.
Hi there. I'm DJ from Suffolk, Virginia, and I am your neoconservative libertarian tonight.
I'm Greg Matuszak from Cincinnati, Ohio. I'll be your liberal Democrat that you ordered.
And I'm Cliff Dunn, and I'm your Republican from Newport News, Virginia.
And Emily Brewer couldn't be with us tonight, but hopefully she'll be back next week. Today is our special edition, the post-third presidential debate episode. So, gentlemen,
the ultimate debate.
The ultimate cage match.
Debate.
What were your thoughts?
It was the brawl to scuttle it all.
It's over.
It's over. That,
it's
over.
A sense of relief. It's a relief.
Have you ever heard a teenager debate a seal? Yes, you have. You saw it tonight. You know, honestly,
the question is who was who.
That was a question? I didn't think so. But maybe that's just me. You know, it's just really, really sad. The only reason I can't say that my candidate, Gary Johnson, won the debate is because he's about to be on Jimmy Kimmel, where he will probably lose the debate. This was probably the most issue and policy-focused debate of the three. That's not really saying much, but we've set a ridiculously low bar in this campaign, and they happened to meet it. There was some discussion about Daesh or ISIS, not nearly enough discussion about the horror of the Assad regime. In fact, I found it particularly painful that both candidates lamented the fate of Aleppo while basically doing nothing to help the people of Aleppo by promising to get rid of the Assad regime. That really hurt, at least for me. They talked about the economy with Clinton essentially rather competently spewing Keynesian BS, while Donald Trump attempted to mouth supply-side truths and got them all wrong. while at the same time, they threw various, you know, Clinton tried to bait Trump, and Trump, for the most part, didn't fall for it until the very end when he called her a nasty woman. And Trump tried to throw various things at Clinton, and Clinton largely didn't buy it. Apparently, the punditry is focused on the fact that Trump won't commit to accepting the election results. Which, if you actually,
Give each of the two debaters a grade, DJ. Then we'll move to the next person.
A grade, okay. I would say that Mrs. Clinton, she earned about a C, and Donald Trump earned a very, very low D, which is better than he got in the other two.
Okay, Greg.
Wow, you're tough. You know, I'll help Cliff here, because I really thought. Well, no, we're tight. We're bros like that. I thought Trump did a fine job for the first 25, 28 minutes. He kept it cool. I mean, he kept everything under wraps. He didn't interrupt. There was a question. There was an answer. There was an answer. There was a question. Boom, 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 boom. I was like, this might actually be very civil.
Whoa, 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 whoa. There was an answer. There was a question. Was this a debate or Jeopardy? What the hell?
It might have been Jeopardy. Oh, I was watching it in reverse. I had my DVR programmed.
So you had
backwards.
Alex Trebek having the best score. Okay.
It was great.
Mr. Connery.
It was very nice. And somewhere around minute 28, he snapped. And there it was. She said something. I'm trying to remember the phrase she said, and I don't remember if it was "you're not qualified." There was a dig. Someone help me here. Do you remember what it was?
I do remember she baited him. I don't remember what the exact line was, but I do remember the point you're talking about.
She said, "You're not such and such," and he said, "You're not such and such," and he went right back. And that was the theme for the night, because every time she would say,
"Okay,
you're just not such and you're not good enough."
Okay,
Greg, your scores.
Oh, my scores? She, as always, she's very good at this. She's a great debater. So I give her this was not her best night, but I still give her an A-. She hit all her points. She knew who she was talking to. She's still directed towards women, which is her focus group. He's all over the map, but we have such a low bar for Donnie that I think we have some sort of a curve. You know what? And it wasn't the worst debate performance for him. So I give her an A minus. Maybe him actually a C plus.
Cliff, let's turn to you.
I'd give Trump a C plus and Hillary a B. Trump, for a good chunk of the debate, it almost felt like there was this weird mix of not being aggressive enough, and then, you know, he was unable to cut in this time. Part of that is that Hillary just wouldn't let – Hillary and the moderator both did a comparatively strong job of not letting him cut in on her, although, to be fair, she had trouble cutting in on him as well. It was probably his best performance of the three. Now, bear in mind, my viewing of the second was very limited. But, yeah, she did a bit better than him. I wasn't terribly impressed by her, but she got in some better zingers, I think.
Okay, very good. And I will I will lead with my scores. I give her a B plus, a solid performance, but not her best performance. And I give him a very generous B minus. I think that he was much more restrained than I think anybody really expected, and he does get points for that. And he definitely was an adult for most of the debate. However, I do think that he lost the debate big time on 2 points. First of all, the answer that he gave about not accepting the outcome of the election, or I'm not going to say I'm going to keep everybody in suspense, I think was his answer.
Yeah.
That led in every single news outlet that I saw. In fact, the little breaking news things that come over my phone from New York Times, CNN, Washington Post, that's all they talked about. That's all that was what led the first the three cable networks that led their analysis after the debate. And that was a horrible answer for him. Even Frank Luntz in his focus group said that was the worst moment of the debate for him. So on that score, I think he really hurt himself, because unfortunately, this is much about perception and optics, and that answer will be what people take away from this debate. The other reason that I think this debate hurt him, and again, on substance, he scored some good points against her, and she scored some good points against him. It actually was the best of the three debates, probably, in that regard. The other thing that hurt him was, and again, I tend to look at this, I try to look at these things from a slightly different angle, because anybody can argue about who had the better points or anything. So I'm trying to judge what the audience responds to. And as we all know, Alec Baldwin has been doing a tremendous job this year lampooning Donald Trump on Saturday Night Live. And one of the things that he did very effectively is lampoon Trump's no interruptions when Hillary's speaking. No, no, nope. And Trump actually did that a few times tonight. One of the worst things you can do once the nation has seen a parody of you and a line has kind of caught everyone's, taken hold in everyone's imagination, the worst thing you can do is actually repeat that in real life. And he did that tonight, and I'm telling you, that's going to hurt him. So in that regard, I think that he had a good debate, but a very bad night.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's we might as well get into it. What is it really a big deal about him not accepting or not saying that he may not accept the results?
Great question. Can I answer that first?
Yeah, please.
My answer is I don't think he's doing this because he legitimately doesn't intend to accept the outcome. I think in Donald Trump's mind, all the stuff that he's doing now, talking about voting irregularities, and he's talking about Philadelphia, and he's talking about Cleveland, he's clearly trying to suppress the vote, and he's trying to get the enthusiasm up in his base to turn out. He's trying to say to these people, if you don't show up, the Democrats are going to steal this election from us, so you've got to show up. He's also, frankly, inciting violence, because he's subtly suggesting to his supporters that they have to go into Philadelphia and watch the election, which is going to be mobs of violently drunken, angry supporters showing up at polling places and trying to insert themselves into the election process. But I think that's the only reason he's doing it. I don't think he legitimately plans not to accept the results. I think he thinks this is his way to actually get out the vote.
As they would say on the Supreme Court, I will concur in part and dissent in part from Kevin's statement. I do think there is some voter motivation turnout involved in Trump's statement. I also think if you listen to what Trump was complaining about, he was not actually complaining about what we would consider rigging the election. He didn't complain about dead people voting. He didn't complain about people getting bussed in and pretending they were other people and voting. He didn't complain about actual voter fraud. What he complained about was media manipulation and the things that most people on the right and the center right have talked about in terms of the uphill battle they face in generally and in any election. So I think there are two things involved here. One, I think he is trying to essentially build the excuse for why he loses, namely the media did him in. And I think he is honestly trying to build a narrative for keeping his vote, turning his voters into his subscribers on Trump News Network. I honestly think this. He has been looking to monetize this for quite some time. The Financial Times reported that his son-in-law actually reached out to an investor about the possibility of investing in a Trump News Network. I honestly think that's his real end game here.
So he's
going to talk about the media all the time. I know you're laughing because you agree, and that's fine, Greg.
No, that's exactly what I was going to say. It's like,
yeah, I know it was. But the point of it is, I think that's really where he was going with this. In terms of will there be rather bizarre observers in Philadelphia? Yeah, maybe one or two. But let's face it, Philadelphia is a city of Wilson Gould and the Rizzo family. They're not going to need if I hate to say this, but if the people of Philadelphia really want to beat each other up over this election, Donald Trump may be a convenient excuse, but they don't really need Donald Trump to beat each other up at the election. It's Philadelphia, for crying out loud. They threw snowballs at Santa Claus. If there's going to be... So, you know, that's just the way it is there. But I honestly think, you know, I think Trump did hurt himself because Trump does what he usually does, and then he goes too far. Complaining about media coverage of his campaign, that is largely considered within bounds because not everybody likes the media. But saying from that point, well, I don't know if I'll accept the results of the election, that is a bridge too far. And Donald Trump being Donald Trump, he crossed that bridge.
Yeah, I mean, I was actually surprised that he said he wouldn't accept the results because at the first debate, if I'm not mistaken, he said he would accept the results. So that's actually – that's got me honestly a little bit – I'm scratching my head as to the tactics there. Now, I tend to agree that there's –
Well, Cliff, hang on, Cliff. Wasn't Donald Trump pro-choice in 2010? 2011. Are you really surprised that he changes his position?
This quickly. This is quicker than usual.
Yes, that's true.
The other thing I will say is I would have to at least downplay. First of all, I don't think the intent is to, quote unquote, incite a riot. And I would have to downplay that aspect given the hot mic that some Democratic operatives got caught on in the last couple days. You know, the video that came out showing them trying to stir up trouble at Trump rallies and then blame the attendees.
And that's actually I think that highlights a problem with the Trump campaign in that they had this opportunity and the first people heard about this from the Trump campaign was at the debate tonight. Millions of Americans will have absolutely no idea what the hell Donald Trump is talking about. A typical campaign, a campaign that actually focuses on an election, would have taken what James O'Keefe found about, or actually would have taken the firing of Mr. I think it's Fover from the Clinton campaign and would have talked about it 24/7 for the last couple of days. So said, hey, look, these are the kind of people that Hillary Clinton thinks should be contractors on her campaign. People who send folks specifically to cause violence at Trump rallies. They could have milked this for the last 2 days. Instead, Donald Trump mentions it at a debate, and hardly anyone knows what he's talking about.
Not only that, but he mentions it at the debate somewhat obliquely, rather than drilling down on it because, you know, so those points where he was saying, you know, I want to throw this question out to her, you know, ask Hillary, hey, Hillary, I'd like to ask you, this person said this, they were working for your campaign for months, are these the type of people you're going to hire into your White House?
I will now say something that will almost certainly end up on the cutting room floor when Kevin edits this video. The simple fact of the matter is, Donald Trump doesn't drill down unless there's an attractive woman in his mind involved.
Oh, hey.
That stays in.
Yeah, but according to Donald, let me get this quote right. Nobody has more respect for women than Donald Trump. That's a quote from tonight's debate. I don't know if you guys
heard that. What did he say about 2 seconds later? What a nasty woman.
No, that was about an hour later. This was right in the middle when they were asking, and Secretary Clinton got very serious, and she started quoting him and saying, you know, here's exactly what you said, and here are the quotes on why, even if these accusations are false, you defended yourself by saying these women are not attractive enough. And he's like, wrong, not true. And the odd thing is, she was quoting from videos that we've all seen. Anyone who's watched one debate would have seen this, but anyone who's sitting at the third debate, we've all seen these videos of him saying, I wouldn't have done, or she's a four, she wouldn't have been my first choice. And then she went on and listed all the other things, and he's like, nope, I never did that. It sounded like Shaggy saying, wasn't me.
It speaks to his narcissism and his megalomania that he thinks that just by saying that's not true, he can deny reality. And you know what? Up till this point in his life, when he was running his business and he was always the most powerful person in the room and he could fire anyone in the room who disagreed with him, I'm sure that worked. But it doesn't work anymore.
But then he added to it, but you know, I have always the greatest respect for women. After, I mean, that just takes balls. And I mean, that's not even the appropriate thing to say. But how can you add that after all that was said, and then just say smugly, "Nope, didn't say it."
I love the line when he said, "And I didn't even apologize to Melania because I didn't do anything."
Oh.
That is typical Trump.
Does he not? Does she not own a TV? I mean, what kind of cable package do they have in Trump Towers? Like, does she only get like locked fee and cable? I mean,
by the way, did you see where one of the networks, I think it was Bloomberg Politics, cut together her responses from two different interviews last night, where she was over and over and over again. She gave the exact same answer. So it was clear that she had memorized her answers to a set of questions that she had been prepped. But I mean, word for word, she gave the exact same answer.
Wait. No. The important thing that you have revealed, Kevin, is that Maliana Trump is better at being on message than her husband. The Republicans should have nominated her for president.
Right, yes.
Well, or as The Daily Show said, she's now plagiarizing herself instead of...
But hey, remember, Donald Trump will never give you up. He will never let you down.
Right.
Salute, Cliff.
So, okay, so we've discussed the debate.
Well done.
We've discussed the debate. In our closing minutes, we're 20 days out. It'll be 19 tomorrow. Where do we go from here? Is the election a fait accompli? Is there still an election to be had? What can change between now and then? And please don't say, well, something's going to come out about Hillary. Yeah, it could, but Martians could also land on Earth. Let's talk about the reality of where we are.
In terms of the 2016 president election, in terms of who will be president, I don't think it changes much. Hillary Clinton was the favorite before. She is the favorite after. I think it may have shored up the Republican Party's defense of the House, maybe. I won't say much beyond that. I think it doesn't really do anything in terms of the long-term implications for the Republican Party. Donald Trump did nothing to beat Evan McMullen in Utah, in part because Evan McMullen is running for president of Utah, apparently. It does nothing to really affect the issues the Republican Party will face in the future in terms of, do they follow the 40-odd percent of their voters who voted for Trump and go in a white nationalist direction, Or do they try to go back to some sort of vision of the fusionism of the 1980s? Because in large respect, what we're seeing here is really the defusionism of the Republican Party. The libertarians are going more towards Gary Johnson. The foreign policy neoconservatives, to an extent they can, are going towards Evan McMullen. The evangelical conservatives seem to be fixated more on Trump for a whole host of reasons, not all of which are bad. I'm not necessarily going to beat up evangelical Christians on this one. My point is the Republican Party is sort of splitting up into their various factions. And what we don't know is what will happen to the Republican Party after 2016. And this debate really didn't help us much, not that it was going to. But we really won't know until after the election is over where the Republican Party goes from here, where the Libertarian Party goes from here, and where the Evan McMullen supporting rump goes from here. Because I'm a Libertarian supporter, we all need to sort that out and figure out what we're doing. And there are a whole bunch of matters involved in that I really can't address in a 30 to 40 minute podcast.
Yeah, very good point.
DJ, I got a quick question for you. If Evan McMullen were on the ballot in Virginia, would you prefer him or Gary Johnson?
Evan McMullen actually is on the ballot in Virginia, so I can answer that question a little more easily than you might think. I will be voting for Johnson over McMullen for this reason. Evan McMullen seems to be under the impression that the only issue the GOP has is that it needs a new paint job. He has openly said the GOP doesn't have any problems on issues. It has a problem on image. And that, frankly, is wrong. The GOP does have some serious issue problems, as far as I'm concerned. And the fact that Evan McMullen...
The party has issues.
Evan McMullen didn't say they didn't have issues. My point is, Evan McMullen seems to think the GOP has more of a presentation problem than a substantive problem. And I simply disagree with that. And I don't think Evan McMullen is what's right for the center-right in America. I don't think he can solve the problem. I'm not saying Johnson necessarily can. Johnson has his own issues, most of which he'll probably reveal to voters at Jimmy Kimmel tonight. But, sorry, I'm veno veritas, and, well, in liquor veritas anyway. But I think any port in a storm.
Okay, let's.
That's right. That's port you're drinking. Well done, Cliff.
Mm-hmm. Well done.
I would say the Libertarian Party, I think, has a better future in terms of what they want to do than the Evan McMullen clique has.
Okay.
And so that's why that's one of the many reasons I'm staying with Gary Johnson.
Okay. So I'm gonna come around to try to wrap things up. So I think we could all agree that it looks like Hillary Clinton is probably going to win the election. Is there anyone here that disagrees with that?
Yeah, the campaign has been going the wrong way for 2 weeks. I tend to agree with the analysis from earlier that this is at least stopping the bleeding insofar as the House and hopefully the Senate goes. But yeah, I am not bullish on our presidential chances at the moment.
Okay, so here's the question that we're going to end on for each person. We'll start with DJ. Does Hillary Clinton win one of the red states? Does she win either Georgia or Arizona or Texas?
I will say no, certainly no to Texas. Texas is not there yet.
Yeah.
I will say no to Georgia because she really hasn't put a lot of effort into it. I think she actually will take Arizona because when the only person who's carried Arizona since 1960, the only Democrat, excuse me, has been Bill Clinton because Clinton ran so hard on entitlements in 96. The fact that Clinton is talking about – the fact that Clinton talked about entitlements tonight, she tells me she has a kind of campaign that can win Arizona.
Okay.
So I think she will win Arizona.
Okay.
So my answer to your question is yes.
Great. Greg?
I think no on Texas. That's a pipe dream. That'd be lovely. I think no on Arizona. But I think if the weather is nice on November 8th, they'll take Georgia. If not, if it's raining and storming, no Georgia.
Okay, Cliff.
I honestly believe that.
My thought is no to those three. I think the red state she actually has the best shot at winning is Utah. Because of the way the vote split's going there.
Okay.
Oh, that's interesting.
Okay. I'm thinking that McMullen is probably going to win Utah, but I think that she has a shot
there. I agree, Kevin.
Yeah, I agree that McMullen has a good shot there. I think Trump also has a shot there. but it's an unusual three-way race. Right. You know, it's the first time in my lifetime where you have the realistic chance of a presidential candidate winning a state with less than 30% of the vote.
Right, right. Well, it's very awesome. Interesting. It could be between those two. But so I'm going to give my answer yes to Arizona, and I think good weather or not, I have a feeling that this election is going to turn into a rout, and I think that she might just pull out Georgia. So we'll see. And with that, I want to thank our listeners for listening to this special edition of the More Perfect Union. Please find us on iTunes and at our website, moreperfectunionpodcast.com, where you can also find blogs and commentary. Also, look for us on Facebook at facebook.com/moreperfectunionpodcast. And if you like debate and want to be part of ours, you can do it online in Facebook's Open Fire. That's our political debate group. We're all there, and we'd love to see you too. So until next week, this is Kevin Kelton saying for the gang, sayonara.
That means goodbye.